Tennessee Titans report to training camp tomorrow, Tuesday, July 28th. And today we have four big storylines that are going to dominate the training camp discourse. We're going to break down each one right now. This is the Music City Audible. Let's get to it. Welcome everyone to training camp week and to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me as always, the managing editor of TitanSize.com, your favorite Titans website, especially with training camp about to start, and the publisher for NFL Draft on SI, my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, it's finally here. Football is back. The Titans report tomorrow. We have a ton of storylines we're going to break down. We've pared it down and sort of grouped them into four major storylines. How you doing today, Justin?
You bet your butt I'm doing well, because the Titans are finally back at training camp as of tomorrow. They'll host their first practice on Wednesday, so we'll have a practice report episode on Wednesday. So excited about that one. It feels like the first one of the year. Even though we had OTAs and mini camp and stuff, training camp is the real deal. Pads come on. It's real football. As the Titans reminded you daily that it wasn't real football, you know, during OTAs and whatnot. We're also going to hear from head coach Robert Saleh and general manager Mike Borgonzi on Tuesday. So tomorrow's episode will either be live or an edited episode recapping what Saleh and Borgonzi said at the podium. If you haven't picked it up yet, we're full steam ahead. Titans training camp. I'm pumped about this time of year.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it's finally here. Football is here. We got a lot to break down. Real quick, though, you said the pads come on, and that's what we're all excited for. Just a reminder to anyone who forgets how the schedule works, the pads don't come on Wednesday. They're going to do a little ramp-up period as they get their bodies acclimated, and then eventually the pads will come on, and then there'll be joint practices, and then there'll be preseason games. It's all happening, and before you know it, we'll be sitting on our couch for Sunday kickoff against the New York Jets. But Justin, the number one biggest storyline that will dominate Titans training camp coverage. And this one, it's a little broad. It's a little obvious, but there is no denying the weight that this storyline will hold. Every single headline coming out of Titans training camp will be framed around how the offense performed. If the defense has a great day, it's going to be Titans offense struggles at training camp. If the offense has a great day, it's going to be Cam Ward and Titans offense lights it up at training camp. So the number one biggest storyline to me is how the offense performs on a day-to-day basis, how they're growing across days. Are they stacking days together? Is the defense going to start the training camp way ahead of the offense, even though both sides of the ball are learning a new scheme? This one is going to be one we're tracking almost nonstop to find out if the Titans offense is finally going to be good again, Justin. This is the number one storyline. And again, it's a little broad. It's a little obvious. But I don't think we can hide from the fact that this is the top story.
No. And look, you can call it broad, but it all centers around Cam Ward, right? It's not just the offense is struggling. It'll be Cam Ward is struggling, or Cam Ward lights it up as opposed to the offense lights it up. OTAs and minicamp might feel like a long time ago, but let's remember that the storylines there were often Cam Ward is struggling. He's not completing 60% of his passing attempts. You know, I guess a story that you could almost say dates back to his rookie season. And, you know, he's struggling to grasp Brian Daboll's playbook, and he's trying lots of things and they're not working. Like, that was what we were getting out of those open practices at OTAs and minicamp. It seems that he got better as practices went on, which is a theory that you've always had, that he's kind of a warm-up guy and he gets better. Yeah. Not only in practice, but also as they progress. Like, he was better at those final practices than he was at the first few ones. So does he carry that momentum over? Is he struggling like he was at the early portion of minicamp and OTAs? And it's funny, like, you talk about both sides learning a new scheme. I say this kind of tongue-in-cheek, but is the defense learning a new scheme, or are John Franklin Myers and Jacob Martin and Solomon Thomas and Jordan Elliott and Tony Adams, all these guys who have played for Robert Saleh before, you got to imagine they're pretty comfortable, you know, heading into camp with the system. Now on offense, you can maybe say that about Mitch Trubisky and Austin Schlotman and Daniel Bellinger and Wandale Robinson, but certainly feels like You know, typically speaking, the defense is ahead of the offense early in training camp. That's almost across the board for all 32 teams, right? But in this case, you do wonder about pumping the brakes a little bit if, you know, that's the case. And no one's going to do it, right? It'll be full-blown, you know, panic mode because that's how reactionary takes work in the NFL. But you got to think that this defense, with so much, with so many guys having played for Robert Saleh before, gives them every advantage to maybe have the upper hand, especially early in camp.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And then the other side of this is not overreacting to poor days on offense. I don't know if you saw this clip. Justin's been circulating around Twitter. It's Aaron Rodgers talking about how a quarterback should operate in practice. And as soon as I saw this clip, the first thing I thought of was Cam Ward. And the fact that we've had, like, because there's a fine line, I think, between us sort of explaining what Cam Ward and Brian Daboll and the offense may be trying to get out of a practice and us just excusing poor performance for, oh, well, he's probably just trying stuff or he's just trying to see what he can get away with. And we're just saying that with no, like, evidence to back up that that's no coach has told us that's what's happening. Cam hasn't told us that's what's happening. We're just like, well, he had a bad day. So how can we spin this? Oh, he's probably just trying to, like, try stuff. You know?
I get it, but we have heard him say that on multiple occasions, right? Like, we have heard him say that he likes testing tight throwing windows and learning what he can get away with and being maybe a bit more aggressive. Like, I know what you mean. Like, we don't hear it that day, or we don't know the coaching point that morning going into that practice session, but we have it on, you know, really good account with enough evidence to back it up that he does like using practice to kind of learn what he can and can't get away with.
Yeah, I agree. So I think that we just have to be careful when we say that we, you know, it comes from a place of genuine honesty and not just excusing the young quarterback that we all want to be really good having a bad day. But I did, anyway, Aaron Rodgers went on for like multiple minutes talking about how quarterbacks who are not trying things, like he said that quarterbacks should be throwing more incompletions in practice and you should be weighing every single one of those incompletions. Did I have enough weight on my back foot? Did I do this mechanically? Did I do this processing wise, etc.? So that the next time you're presented that exact situation, you know why what you did the last time didn't work so you can try to fix it. So anyway, I hope Cam takes that approach because I do think that's better. It might lead to like some more concerning training camp reports, some less exciting, like fewer days where the offense is on fire. But like I had my first boss, Justin, always used to say this. He was a photographer from Beverly Hills, shot Rolling Stone covers, did like Revlon and L'Oreal campaigns for years. Big deal. He always used to say, like, I love when people praise my work, but I don't learn anything when you praise my work. Tell me what's wrong with my work. So as much as I'd love to see the offense have days where they're just on fire, you're not learning where you need to be better if you're just going out there and catching fire. And maybe they don't need to be better, but from what we've seen the last few years in Nashville, the offense needs to be way better. The other part of the offense that we're talking about is obviously the receiver rotation here. Like, we're going to be tracking, you know, Jim Wyatt's going to be out there tracking who had how many catches in every single practice. I'm going to be curious to see if Carnell Tate is like a target hog in these practices, or if it's Cam's leaning on Wandale Robinson, if Shimmer Adike and Alec Iaminer are getting run with the first team, how much is Calvin Ridley getting those snaps with the first team, and then who at the back end is making plays, because it's almost going to come down to, like, obviously special teams role will play a big part in who makes the roster at the back end of the receiver room, but also just like going out there and making plays and making it undeniable that you belong on the team and in the league could help a guy like, you know, Xavier Restrepo, who posted on Twitter that he ran like, what, a 4.46 40 or something like that recently over while training this offseason. Like, a guy like him, if he has like a 9-catch day, does that help his case even if he's not a special teams player? Or is it like it's Bryce Oliver because Bryce Oliver plays special teams and it doesn't matter what he does on offense? You know, like, those are the receiver storylines I think we'll be tracking closely.
I think I'll keep it short because we'll be tracking every receiver at training camp. There's multiple storylines across the board, but if Cam Ward is the number one overall player that we're tracking at training camp, I feel pretty comfortable saying Carnell Tate is everyone's number two, right? Like, who's going to pique the second most interest at Titans training camp? It's Carnell Tate. There's no doubt about it. Your rookie number four overall pick, and that's what I'm excited about. What's he doing at practice? Is he beating guys like Alante Taylor and Cordell Flott? Or was he just, you know, beating up on Micah Robinson at OTAs and minicamp because that matchup was so favorable? Is he a high-volume guy? I imagine Cam's going to really lean on Wandale Robinson earlier because he's so reliable, you know, underneath the coverage and across the middle and things of that nature. But definitely monitoring all things Carnell Tate.
Carnell Tate.
Justin, it's time for us to take our first break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about the number two storyline. The only real, legitimate, completely open position battle at Titans training camp. We'll be right back. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. What can we as a society do to close this gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out?
Well, we can start by encouraging each other to seek support when we need it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should know that BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform.
All you have to do to get started is fill out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp takes care of matching you with a therapist. The best part? If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from any of BetterHelp's tailored recommendations.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. Welcome back, everybody. All right, Justin, we covered the offense, but we didn't cover all of the offense because a big part of the offense is the offensive line. And a big part of the offensive line is the only real position battle. Look, there may be guys who try to take other guys' jobs or whose roles expand or decline based on performance at training camp. But there's one position that is legitimately just up for grabs, and it is the right guard spot. After Kevin Zeitler held it down last year on a one-year deal, he's no longer a member of the Titans. He's still out there. If they feel like they want to try to bring him back, it could still happen. Every day that passes makes me think it's not going to happen a little bit more. But right now you have free agent signee Cordell Volson, who came over from the Bengals after playing 4 years there. Played 3 years there because he missed last year with an injury. And then you have second year, fifth round pick Jackson Slater competing for that right guard job. We know that those two guys are involved in the competition. We don't think anyone else is. We don't think sixth round rookie Fernando Carmona is involved in that competition. There's nobody else. It's one of those two guys. But we really have no idea which of those two guys it's going to be. I think the fan base and you and I and analysts are kind of hoping that it'll be Jackson Slater to pay off a fifth round pick that it's like, wow, that was a big win of a pick. We kind of hope it's not Cordell Volson because we've seen him play a lot of football and he's never been particularly good. Maybe that was a Bengals thing. Maybe it was a O-line coach scheme issue. Maybe he'll be better under Carmen Brasillo. But that position battle, it's the one we're going to watch. Who's getting the first team reps at right guard? It's going to be one of the bigger storylines at camp.
Yeah, we can talk about, you know, the position battle for wide receiver 6, RB 3, cornerback 5. Who's tight end 1? I mean, they're both tight end 1s in my opinion, the way that it's, I think it's going to be very well balanced there. But the only legitimate position battle is right guard, like you said. And, you know, a lot of people feel that Cordell Volson will have the advantage because he's started, I think, 48 career NFL games. This is like his fifth NFL training camp. All those things, I want to be clear. I guess I tried to caveat that, but like, those are legitimate advantages, I think. You know, when you've played 48 career NFL, started 48 career NFL games, and this is your fifth training camp, like, those do give you legitimate upper hands. And that's why I think many feel that he's going to go into camp as the favorite to win that job. With Jackson Slater being a fifth rounder, you know, I think all of us, he was a bit of a pre-draft darling on draft Twitter, so like, a lot of us were excited about that pick. We kind of decided right then and there, I think, oh, well, he's your future starting right guard because we know Zeitler's not going to be around forever. But now, you know, the time has arrived and he's got to go earn it, right? And truthfully, like, you know, fifth round picks don't always develop into starters, especially guys who played at Sacramento State. So I don't know what's going to happen here, obviously. I don't think anyone knows for sure what's going to happen here. I think it's fair to call it truly 50-50, or you want to say it's 60-40 for Volson because he's a veteran who's played a lot of football? Sure. I don't think it's 80-20, right? Like, this is going to be a legitimate battle, and I think that's how the coaches are going to treat it. You're probably going to see both of them getting reps with the first team offense. I mean, they don't really report that stuff at OTAs and minicamp, but pretty confident saying they both had opportunities with the first team offense in those settings. So, and I'm trying to, you know, be political there. but we expect that to be the case at camp. And again, I think Robert Saleh said, and if he didn't, I'm sure he believes it. You don't really assess O-line play at OTAs and minicamp. You don't really assess O-line play until the pads are on. And as you noted, we're not going to have them for the first few practices. Naturally, like, you need that ramp-up period. You don't want to get hurt. Like, you're going from almost nothing to everything. So you try to gradually grow into that, especially the physical aspect of football. But once those pads come on, you know, that battle for right guard is going to feel very legitimate. And you know, with saying that Volson has an upper hand, to be honest with you, I think one thing we're underestimating is he didn't play football last season, right? Like,
right.
What does he look like? What's the physical condition? How much rust is there to shake off? Is there any lingering effect from undergoing, I think it was a shoulder surgery. I think it was a shoulder injury, if I recall correctly. So is there any lingering effect from undergoing shoulder surgery and not playing football for an entire year? It's not a very high-priced contract they brought him in on, so they don't owe him any. They don't. When I say they don't owe him anything, yeah, they owe him some money, but they certainly don't owe him a starting gig, is what I right based on salary. So I'm hoping it's a very legitimate battle, and you know, may the best man win.
Yeah, I agree, and I think we're gonna get I think possibly tomorrow, maybe not tomorrow. There's gonna be questions to Robert Saleh at some point during training camp that are something like, who's coming along? Who do you envision winning the right guard job? Maybe it's not that specific. Maybe it's, when do you expect to know who your full starting five will be so that they have time to gel? And he's going to give some coach speak answer about wanting to give everybody a chance, but also knowing that the sooner you get it set, the better. But we probably won't know till the pads come on. That's going to happen. Just a prediction. Throwing it out there now. Justin, our number three storyline is sort of a question. What other positions are up for grabs? What other starting spots are up for grabs? Who's going to take the back-end jobs, depth spots, backup swing tackle, for instance? When is J.C. Latham going to come off the pup list? And until he's off the pup list, who is there? Who's the guy playing right tackle with the first-team offense? How soon can Anthony Hill Jr. take over a job, if he can do it at all, from Cody Barton? These are the kinds of I think the other roster battles, position battles, like there's no other real starting spot up for grabs, but it's sort of like, can this maybe possibly ascending player come along and earn more opportunity or steal a starting job from somebody else? And then at the same time, it's like, who's going to make the roster on the back end of each position group? That's, I think, storyline number three.
Yeah, it's true at every position. And I'll almost run rapid fire on it because it's like, well, who is Nick Singleton RB3? Who's tight end three? Is it David Martin Robinson? Is it Kylan Granson? Is it the rookie Jaron Kanick? Is Brandon Crenshaw Dixon the first team right tackle if J.C. Latham is out? Who's the backup left guard? Is it a rookie? Is it do one of these UDFA tackles like Amil Wagner have a chance, right? Like, we can go on and on. Who's the 50 tackle? Is it the rookie Jackie Marshall? What's Anthony Hill, Cody Bard? Who's linebacker four? Is it Mo Diabate? Is it James Williams? Like, they've got a ton of guys. Is it one of the UDFAs? Who's corner five, right? Like, there's every position, naturally. This is true for all 32 teams in the NFL. Every position has a battle of sorts going on at every single spot, right? I mean, sorry, every single position group has a battle going on. That's why it's training camp. That's why you've got 90 guys on the team before you've got to cut down to 53. And because we're nerds and we love the Tennessee Titans, we're going to be monitoring every single one, and we'll have news and notes and analysis and everything about the tight end three, about the third guard and the sixth edge rusher or whatever. Like, we want to know all of it, and that's why we love training camp. It's going to bring us a little bit of everything.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Justin. All right, we got one more big storyline we're going to be tracking, and we will cover it right after this break. Oh, welcome back. All right, Justin. Tomorrow, the players report. The anticipation in the air is palpable. I can feel it. I can't wait to hear Robert Saleh and Mike Borgonzi at the podium tomorrow. But before that, we got one more big storyline that we're going to be tracking all throughout training camp, and that is the youth movement. This applies to both sides of the ball. Titans have added an infusion of young talent over the past two off seasons. We don't know how many of these guys are going to go on to be stars, role players, contributors, solid starters, but we're going to get our first taste of finding out as soon as training camp opens. I'm talking about the guys that shined as rookies last year. Gunnar Helm, Shimmer Adike, Alec Iamanner. What roles do those guys have on offense, especially Gunnar Helm? Is he going to be a true tight end one? Is he going to split tight end one snaps with Daniel Bellinger, who was signed in the offseason? Is he only going to play in two tight end sets? Is Bellinger going to be who's the guy out there in 11 personnel, one tight end sets? That'll be one to track. Shimmer Adike and Alec Iamanner. Can one of them take Calvin Ridley's job, or at least take snaps away from him? Jackson Slater, trying to win the right guard job. Can he do that, or is he going to settle into sort of a career backup role? On the other side of the ball, Marcus Harris taking over the nickel job. Kevin Winston Jr., especially with Imani Hooker starting the training camp on PUP, can Kevin Winston Jr. take a step and be the next star safety in Robert Saleh's defense? And then you have the rookies that were just drafted. Mentioned Anthony Hill Jr. You got Keldrick Falk. You got Femi Oladejo, not a rookie, but can he take a jump and be a contributing player? There's a ton. Obviously, Cam Ward, Carnell Tate. Like, there's a ton of young guys on this roster. How quickly can these guys become good NFL players, great NFL players, star NFL players? That's going to matter for how good the Titans are in 2026.
Well, we've covered the rookie class, you know, pretty closely, at least, you know, Carnell Tate, and we covered Cam Ward, obviously.
Carnell Tate.
Cam Ward isn't a rookie, but we've covered him. So I think I'm focusing on the sophomore class, you know, besides Cam Ward, obviously, because we've talked about him a bunch. You bring up Femi Oladejo there. What's he working in the rotation? I'm extremely curious. What does his role look like? Is he getting pressure on the quarterback? And obviously tracking all things Femi Oladejo related. But you mentioned the receivers as well, and that's a big one to me, because you and I have been pretty much in lockstep that we think Calvin Ridley's got to earn the wide receiver 3 role. I don't think they're just going to hand it to him. Whereas others, you know, like I said, we talked last week, Pro Football Focus wrote an article and called him the number one receiver on the Titans. Well, you and I don't know if we're taking crazy pills, but we think he's competing for wide receiver 3 with Shimmer Adike and Alec Iamanner. Because the Titans are flexible with their personnel package ability, like Carnell Tate can play X and Z. And I think, you know, Wandale Robinson can play Z and obviously the slot. And I think Shimmer Adike can play slot and Z. So as much as we're projecting these things, like if Calvin Ridley's competing with Shimmer Adike, and I think, you know, DK and Ridley are probably the most replaceable, like, you know, natural like for like on the roster, because I think DK is mostly a Z, and obviously Ridley's going to be the Z. But if Alec Iomanner is performing really efficiently at camp, and he deserves to be one of the top 3 receivers on this team, then you easily put him at X, and you move Carnell Tate to Z with Wandale Robinson in the slot. And quite frankly, I spoke to a lot of scouts and analysts before the draft who thought Tate was most natural at Z. I think we've kind of taken to projecting him at X because that's where the Titans had the biggest hole in their receiving corps. So he's naturally going to go fill that hole with all these other guys they have who can play Z and slot playing those spots. But they're flexible enough to honestly have whatever package of top 3 receivers they want to have. So we think Ridley is truly, truly competing for that role with both DK and Iomanner. But guess what? I don't know if we're right about it. Camp's going to tell us, right? Is Ridley consistently working with the first team offense? Where are DK and Iomanner in the pecking order at receiver? Like, outside of tracking what Carnell Tate is doing at training camp, that's the second most interesting story at wide receiver to me, because I feel like I know what I'm getting out of Robinson, and I know where he's going to play and line up, and I'm excited about it, but I already know it for the most part. I want to learn what I don't know, and that's, you know, what's going on with Ridley, DK, and Iomanner, and what we think is a battle for wide receiver 3.
Yeah, I do think the wide receivers are going to dominate sort of the reporting, the what the fans are most interested in wanting to hear after each practice. But I'm also not going to ignore the defensive side of the ball, which, look, like, let's just be real. Defense is not as much. It's not as fun. It's like a little bit more boring to cover. If your defense is doing well in training camp, that usually means your offense is struggling. So that is even like a bigger concern than having just a good defense. If the defense is good during the season, that can be so much fun if you guys are getting sacks and forcing turnovers and forcing three and outs and getting the ball back to the offense and good field position and all that. I'm not saying defense isn't fun, but from a training camp storyline perspective, unfortunately, like, it just doesn't get the same kind of shine because it doesn't, frankly, have the same interest level from fans. But I am interested in learning, like, how well is Marcus Harris holding down that nickel spot? And Robert Saleh talked about that, like, you know, they really like, I can't remember the exact quote on Harris now, but it was almost like, don't forget or don't sleep on
Marcus Harris, I think you said. Yeah.
Don't sleep on Marcus Harris. People are, wait.
I think a lot of people are forgetting about Femi.
Talked about Femi Oladejo. And then Kevin Winston. I mean, there was some buzz that he looked like he was ready to take the next step coming out of OTAs for Kevin Winston Jr. And it's like, is he actually doing that? You know, now that he actually can tackle people without breaking the OTA no contact rules when he was tackling guys at practices in the spring. Obviously, once the pads come on, he can tackle. Let's see that aggression continue to ramp up. I'm excited to see the young players on this defense and how they sort of work into a unit that already had Jeffrey Simmons, a unit that added some veterans in Jermaine Johnson and all the John Franklin Myers and Cordell Flaude and Alante Taylor and all the guys that they've added across the board. It's going to be a good blend of like youth and experience. And can those vets lead these young guys into finding their roles and being contributing players and working into a new defense? And can Robert Saleh really have one of those top defenses in the NFL yet again? Because if he does, like, that sets such a high floor for how good or bad the Titans will end up being this year. If you have a good defense, you can get away with the offense struggling or whatever else.
Yeah, I think you're right about the defense doesn't typically capture as much excitement of the fan base, but if, you know, this is a dedicated Tennessee Titans podcast, and guess what? Defense makes up about half the football team, so we'll be tracking it very, very closely. And I'll go front to back on rapid fire, like, can the interior of the D-line look as dominant as we think it's going to be? You know, Jeffrey Simmons, John Franklin Myers. And by the way, probably a pretty big mismatch advantage for them in going up against the guys in the right guard battle or what we think is a veteran stopgap center in Austin Schlotman.
No J.C. Latham for an undetermined amount of time. I bet that's one of the first questions Saleh answers tomorrow. Or maybe he doesn't even answer it. Maybe he opens the presser by saying, and a note on injuries, we got Hooker and Latham on PUP. Those guys will be coming back soon. Like, but until he comes back, I mean, you're talking about three, like from the center over to the right tackle, all three of those spots being a pretty big vulnerability for Franklin Myers and Simmons to exploit in training camp.
I expect them to do just that, in all honesty. And then, you know, what do we, Solomon Thomas, Jordan Elliott, like, what do those guys bring to the table? Obviously, the edge rotation. How are Jacob Martin and Femi Oladejo performing? How does Jermaine Johnson look another year removed from an Achilles? What's going on at linebacker with Cody Barton and Anthony Hill? Remember, I said I was going front to back. And then, obviously, in the secondary, like, Alante Taylor and Cordell Flaude, they've paid them a lot of money to be the starting corners. How are they covering guys like Calvin Ridley and Carnell Tate? Is it a back and forth? Or is one of them, or one of those units consistently winning over the other? I wanted to talk about the sophomores, so I'll tie it in to this point because, yes, I can't wait to watch Kevin Winston Jr. and Marcus Harris, right? Like, how are they naturally progressing? That Titans 2025 draft class has to be the foundational one, you know, for this franchise moving forward. And that's not just Cam Ward and the receivers, but it's also Marcus Harris and Kevin Winston Jr. How quickly does Hooker get back? What's the update there and with PUP? Tony Adams was a guy they're excited to have as a number three safety with a high football IQ who spent a number of years starting and playing for Robert Saleh with the New York Jets. And I didn't even, like, I talked about the D-line, Femi Oladejo, Jacob Martin. How about the other first-round pick? Like, it sucks to be the second first-round pick when Carnell Tate was the first first-round pick.
Carnell Tate.
Not enough Keldrick Falk, right? Like, I want to know what Keldrick Falk is doing at training camp and how he's looking. And what's his placement in the pecking order of the rotation on the defensive line? So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of excitement and focus on Cam Ward and Carnell Tate. And you and I are going to fall, not, I don't want to say victim to that, because we've got to cover it. It's the biggest you know, storylines of training camp. But yeah, the defense matters too, and there's going to be a lot happening on that side of the ball as well.
Yeah, totally. So, Justin, I think that covers the biggest storylines that will be talked about, that will dominate the coverage of Titans training camp up until like joint practices. That's its own separate storyline. That's going to be a big one as well. How does a team look against other opponents? And some good ones, the Seahawks, Super Bowl champion Seahawks coming to town, like, or no, the Titans are going to, I don't remember where everything is, but I believe they're going to Seattle for that one. Regardless, like, that's going to be a fun battle. Oh, yeah, they're going to Seattle. It's going to be on Hard Knocks. Anyway, Justin, the joint practices will definitely be a storyline. The unfortunate storyline, elephant in the room that we haven't mentioned yet, knock on wood, injuries will be a storyline. Hopefully, the Titans don't have any to report on. That would be an ideal world, but it's never really the way things go. If
Carolina
you...
Panthers lost a good pass rusher, a sophomore pass rusher, on the first day for the whole year, like... Just and makes you sick to your stomach type of thing you hope to avoid.
And their tackles are dealing with other things like blood clots or something. For
right tackle, Taylor Moen, yeah, has got a blood clot issue.
So a lot of stuff that can go wrong. You hope your season isn't derailed during August because that is the worst. But if you, the listener / YouTube viewer, have any other storylines that you want us to track throughout training camp that you think will become big talking points, something that we missed, let us know in the comments below. Like this video, subscribe to the channel, come back tomorrow. We're going to break down Robert Saleh and Mike Borgonzi's opening training camp, opening press conference. Can't wait for that. Justin, any final words to you?
No, that'll do it. Just super excited. Training camp is here. We think you guys will enjoy this preview. We'll be back tomorrow to cover the Robert Saleh and Mike Borgonzi presser. All things training camp, full steam ahead. Not sure if that'll be live yet or if we'll record it and drop it at the usual time. That means you've got to stay tuned to the channel. Make sure notifications are on. You know every time we go live, just in case tomorrow is a surprise live stream reaction. Y'all stay safe out there. Come back tomorrow. Drop your comments below what you're looking forward to as Titans training camp finally arrives. And until then, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.